Welcome to CryptoCast by Gunnar Cook, the leading industry podcast that brings together expert guests to discuss hot topics and useful advice for blockchain and crypto asset businesses. I am James Burney, and thank you for joining me today.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of CryptoCast. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Mohammed Ezzeldine, who is head of tokenomics at Anamoca Brands. Hi, Mohammed. It's great to have you on.
Hey, James. It's great to be here. Thank you for having me on.
So just kind of for those people who are unaware of Anamoca Brands and what they're up to and what they're doing, can you sort of start by giving a bit of background as to how Anamoca Brands are and, of course, what you're doing with Anamoca Brands at the moment?
Absolutely. So for those that don't know, Anamoca Brands, it's a leader in digital entertainment, blockchain and gamification. And really the focus of our company is advancing digital property rights and contributing to the open metaverse. So we're really blue ocean mindset. We have a really diverse portfolio that includes products, if you're familiar with Web3, like Sandbox, OpenSea, Crazy Defense Heroes, and so on. It was founded in 2014 by our visionary leader, Yatsu, and we've grown significantly over the years. A big part, again, of what we focus on from an operating side of things is having majority-owned operating businesses or our subsidiaries, JV and partnerships with the right partners, and again, direct investments. And we have a portfolio now that's over 450 strong, including the likes of Axie Infinity, Colossal, Open Campus, amongst others. Yeah, then the company, I guess if we want to say some positives, the company was recognized by the Financial Times in 2023 as a high growth company in the Asia Pacific region. And we also won the Deloitte Tech Fast Award for the same year. And again, just to reemphasize, our focus is on delivering digital entertainment and property rights and really helping navigate through the shitstorm that is Web3 and aiding projects and businesses to take their businesses from a Web2 standpoint and a Web3 standpoint. And that's sort of where myself and my team come in from a tokenomics position.
And in terms of what tokenomics is, I mean, I think it's a word which is said a lot, but not necessarily always understood. Can you sort of, you know, for those who are sort of thinking about launching their first ever token, can you give an idea what it is that we actually mean by when we talk about tokenomics?
I completely agree. Tokenomics, it's a buzzword in the space, and there are so many different meanings to it. Fundamentally, there is no one outright meaning. I have two young kids, and watching Shrek once, and he was like, an ogre is like an onion. There are so many different layers to his feelings, and I like to use that analogy. Tokenomics is like an onion, and there's so many different layers to it. We can talk about the 0 to 1 for a company or a business looking to launch a token. And again, when we say token, it's not specific to a fungible token. It can also include different types of non-fungible tokens. So that's where really the token economics or tokenomics comes from. So there's a 0 to 1, which is focused more around who are your key stakeholders, what those interactions look like, and then understanding from those interactions, what can be an on-chain transaction, what can be an off-chain transaction, mapping out your different personas and how they'll interact within this ecosystem, go-to-market strategies, and that's sort of getting a business ready to go from we want to have a token to having a token launched. But then fundamentally, it's the 1 to 100 where a lot of projects do fail. I know we're going to touch on that later on, but just to provide a little bit of context, it's once you have a token live, once something is live on the blockchain, you can't take it back. And what we've seen with a lot of projects is they've not scaled in the right way. And fundamentally, it's come down to what we're calling broken distribution and allocations at the beginning, where that maybe they've given too many tokens to investors or to the team, that the wrong incentive alignments are there in place, which really hinders any potential growth in the future. But fundamentally, tokenomics is the ultimate value add to an underlying product or platform.
That's really interesting. I think it's particularly interesting to see what we've seen in some of the tokens where they've just dropped kind of spectacularly in value. And actually, I do think there's an issue at the moment, reputation of crypto assets, which get launched and then kind of tank in value. What do you think kind of the most common causes of this? Do you think it's is it always the same issues you see again and again? Or is it kind of a different reasons why things might drop in value when they start to launch?
I mean, I think there's a number of core underlying reasons for it. The first is fundraising. For a lot of founders out there, being able to raise on a fungible token or an NFT allowed a new way to be able to raise funds. But in doing so, going for the short-term success, they've hindered the longevity of an ecosystem to the point I was alluding to earlier, that they've sold too many tokens to investors. And once a token is live and there's liquidity there, that liquidity is limited. So when investors and team members and advisors begin to sell, they're selling into a very limited liquidity pool. And unless there's the buy pressure on the other side, what we've seen happen is the token price tanks. So that's one of the reasons. The other one is we've put the cart before the horse. We say, let's launch a token, and then we can worry about the product afterwards. What I was saying earlier, it's the ultimate value add to an underlying product. There has to be a product there. That product needs to be sticky. And you can have maybe NFTs to aid in growing that ecosystem, but really we have to see fungible tokens as the bloodline of an ecosystem. And if there is no ecosystem, in most cases, it doesn't make sense to have a fungible token, because really we're not going to get the velocity of exchange between the different participants to justify the need for a token that will be successful short, medium, and long term. And I think that the third reason is we've got the wrong incentive alignments in the space. What we've told people is come, do something, you earn a token. That's exactly it. It's quite a linear relationship. I come, I do, I earn, I sell. There is no skin in the game. There is no reason for me to reinvest these tokens back into that ecosystem, be it a game, be it a DAO, be it DeFi. The incentives are not there. And when the incentives are there, it's for more money. And really, we've misunderstood what value means. We've taken value just to mean a financial gain, but there are so many other ways value can be deciphered, or it's not just linked to a financial gain. So for me, these are three of the main reasons why. But we also have to take into account and be completely honest, the tech has improved so much in the last 2 to 3 years. People's understanding of the tech has gone up. And we are really at the point of having a few platforms or games that can appeal to the masses. And I'm trying not to use Web 2, Web 3 here, because we're all one. If we want crypto to have mass adoption, we need to stop selling it as this is crypto. We've saturated the amount of people coming in for what the technology enables us to do. Everyone else just cares about a front-end experience that's seamless, that actually solves a problem for them, and where there's positive network effects. And what I mean by that, and probably the greatest example, is when we saw the transition maybe from BlackBerry Messenger, for those old enough to remember. And then WhatsApp came along, and WhatsApp was operating system agnostic, and everyone pivoted from BBM to WhatsApp, BBM BlackBerry Messenger, for those who don't know, to WhatsApp, because that's where everyone was, as opposed to let's stick with BlackBerry because it's cool.
That sounds interesting and terrifying at the same time, because for those who haven't sort of done tokenomics before and have a new project, is there kind of a right way to go about setting up your tokenomics? You can have tips for people looking at tokenomics for their crypto assets.
Absolutely. I mean, two main pieces of advice I'd give is, if you're fundraising, fundraise on equity with a token warrant, so at least you're not selling the token directly. And also means you can have more control over the amount of tokens you're selling. So again, we want to minimize the amount of tokens. If you're able to fundraise without selling any tokens, that's probably the biggest win you can have, because you've mitigated future sell pressure coming in. And the second aspect is focus on product. There needs to be a sticky product there. It needs to be fun. It needs to have genuine users coming in. And maybe to precede the idea of a fungible token, you can have like an in-game currency or a loyalty point or something that users are familiar with to begin to interact in a way that's stable. And then when it makes sense to introduce a fungible token, like in most cases, that's a really good approach. There are two cases where this fails, and that's where it's a DeFi element, where the tokenomics and the token are crucial to anything in DeFi to be successful. And also for DAOs, or decentralized autonomous organizations, you do need the tokens live very early to have that decentralization, and also have people having ownership of those tokens to be able to come in and be active participants within that DAO ecosystem. But outside of DeFi and DAOs, tokens should be one of the last things as opposed to one of the first things. It really should be product first.
That's interesting. I think one of the things kind of listening to you speak is how you're talking about the evolution effectively of tokenomics to date and its move to things like DAOs. Is there anything that's got you particularly excited at the moment in terms of future developments of tokenomics as a discipline? Is there anything that we should sort of getting out of bed in the morning in terms of that? That's going to be the exciting thing of the future.
Absolutely. I mean, we're developing, especially from DAO frameworks. We've seen a lot of DAOs have failed, and fundamentally there is no reputation layer. So you're asking token holders to come in and vote on something, and we have no idea what their background is. We have, when I say background, also what their experience is. And it tends to be weighted to Wales, because a lot of token voting mechanics is based on the weighting of the tokens that you have. So if I'm someone who is crypto rich, or if I'm someone who's just rich, I can come in and buy a lot of tokens off the market and influence a vote, which isn't very democratic, you can argue, but also isn't a value add. So working on maybe some of the things we're doing is two-tier governance systems, similar to maybe what we have in the UK with the House of Parliament and the House of Commons, and the House of Lords, or in the US with the Senate and the House of Representatives, and really trying to have more of a structured approach. And also, as opposed to going to decentralized instantly, maybe it's not a DAO to begin with, and we have progressive decentralization over time as we're able to build up a reputation layer. And also this idea of one person, one vote, or token-weighted voting, we've seen it doesn't work, because in most instances, it's a binary decision. And we just need to look at the likes of Brexit, Trump being president, and loads of other examples of what binary decisions, how they really bring out the worst in people as opposed to the best in people. So quadratic voting and variations of quadratic voting is something we're really focusing on as well, to try and innovate the way we interact with governance. But fundamentally, people love instant gratification. People love things that are easy. And as soon as you add in complexity, there's a big friction layer there.
That's been very interesting. I'm afraid that's all we've got time for today. If anyone listening would like to reach out to the tokenomics team at Animoca Brands, the email is tokenomics@Animoca, Animoca brands.com. Thank you, Mohammed, for coming on. That's been fascinating.
James, thank you for having me on. I hope people found this educational.
Thank you for listening to CryptoCast by Gunnar Cook. Gunnar Cook is a market-leading law firm advising on blockchain, Web3, crypto assets, and DeFi. Our members have been heavily involved in helping to shape the legal and regulatory framework for blockchain and crypto assets. Our team works across multiple jurisdictions, including Germany and the US. We are the only UK law firm to officially accept payments in crypto. Our client base is more than 150. Before we go, if you enjoyed the episode, please leave a review on your podcast service, and make sure you're following Gunnar Cook on social media and sign up to our CryptoCast mailing list on the Gunnar Cook website. Thank you for listening.